Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing peak inflation, why saving money sucks, and insurance scams.
All right, Joel, this is our Friday Flight episode where every week we sit down and we talk through some of the different stories and articles that we came across, and specifically how they are going to affect our money, how they're going to affect your money if you're listening to this podcast. And so we're going to get to those. We're also going to announce our winners of our book giveaway, the Raid Our Bookshelf book giveaway that we do every now and then. We'll get to that at the end of this episode. But first, man, you wanted to talk about Bobby Bonilla Day. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
You are much more of a fan of baseball than I am.
Well, growing up, I mean, I watched Bobby Bonilla play my Atlanta Braves a whole lot. Yeah, he's a good ball player, and he played for the Mets for quite a long time. But Bobby Bonilla Day is special in the personal finance community because
it's like the perfect intersection of personal finance and baseball for you.
Yeah. So basically, Bobby Bonilla signed this contract where the Mets were like, hey, you know, we owe you $6 million, but what if 10 years from now we start paying you $1.2 million a year for the next 25 years? And Bobby Bonilla was like, oh, I'll take that guaranteed money. That sounds good. That's actually a whole lot more money than I think it works out to almost $30 million.
Yeah, something like that.
That they have to pay him over 25 years. So that's a whole lot more than six. And so people think that Bobby Bonilla is this like shrewd negotiator, or he and his agent, really, right? Like both those guys, they're like, yeah, let's do this. And so it is just kind of one of those fascinating things. I think deferred gratification, I love seeing it. Like, this is a perfect example of deferred gratification where it's like, I could take the lump sum now, or I could take, you know, a smaller amount, but for a really long period of time instead. But Matt, you actually kind of ran the numbers, and you said, I would have actually done the opposite of what Bobby Bonilla did, right?
Well, yeah, we saw some other stories going around, and they were talking about how this actually made sense for everybody, because essentially they were paying him about an 8% rate of return on his money, right? But that actually, I guess what they didn't do, they didn't take into account the fact that there was a 10-year delay before he was going to start receiving those payments. And so that would have made sense if he were to start receiving those payments that first
immediately.
Year. Right, but if he had to wait a decade, really, you're not looking at a 25-year period, you're looking at a 35-year period, right? And so if he would have taken that lump sum, say $6 million, and it immediately stuck that in the market as opposed to sitting on it, you know, like if he got that $6 million, he would have just like taken it and, you know, put it in the bank and done nothing with it for 10 years and then started investing.
We hope not.
I mean, if you're looking at it just from an analytical standpoint, okay, you start from day one. And so when you calculate, you know, an average return of what he would have received from that money, from that lump sum invested over 35 years, it turns out that he would have done much better. He would have basically had twice the money had he invested that.
Well, and that's based on a 7% return, but yeah. In actuality, the returns have been higher in that time span, I think.
Okay, so I also crunched the numbers. And over the past 25 years, the S&P has returned over 12%.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the past 5 years, it's been over 15%. And granted, at the time, you don't know what the market's going to do, right? Because I know for you, that was one of your things, is that, well, you don't exactly know what the market is going to give you, right?
Yeah, a guaranteed 8% return is impossible to find anywhere, really, right? If someone says that they have a guaranteed 8% return to give you, then you're probably being led down a path. And actually, interestingly enough, the owner of the Mets had his money invested with Bernie Madoff, who was promising him guaranteed double-digit returns every year. And so I think that's why they felt like they could give Bobby Bonilla this, you know, long-term payout. They're like, well, we're going to make more than that every single year because we got our money with Madoff. And it turned out, obviously, that was a scam. That wasn't real. So if someone promises you that, it's probably not true, right? There's bumps in the road when it comes to investing. But it's always an interesting day. I love seeing the stories. But yeah, I love that you ran the numbers too. And it's like, actually, if Bobby Bonilla had taken, you know, the $5.9 million or whatever it was, he would have come out way ahead if he had invested. But the other thing to take into account, and this is what everyone out there has to take into account when they have run into some sort of lump sum or long-term payout conundrum, is like, what am I actually going to do, right? Because your behavior comes into play in a big way here. And, you know, if you take that $5.9 million and you spend, you know, half of it and then you try to invest the rest, you're not going to come out ahead.
You can take an easy $1 million off the top and be like, all right, I'm going to be smart with the rest of the five, maybe. And then all of a sudden, well, that changes the equation a whole lot.
But sometimes, you know, forcing yourself to not have access to the money is actually the best thing for you just from a behavioral standpoint.
And of course, Bobby Bonilla Day was yesterday, July 1st. So that's why we're we're talking about it right now.
Top of mind. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the rest of our Friday Flight stories this week, Matt. The sampling of stories we find interesting that affects people's personal finances. And you know, one of the biggest stories from this week was record high temperatures out west, right?
Yeah.
I've seen people frying eggs on the sidewalk in Portland, Oregon. That's how hot it got. And I hate it for folks out there. It hit 115 degrees in Portland on Monday. It might have even been like 117. I don't know.
I think the forecast was set for 117, but maybe it actually hit. I mean, I'm sure it just depends on where you place your thermometer. Yeah. It's always like 10 degrees hotter in the car, right?
Right, yeah. Well, and that's actually 4 degrees higher than it's ever been in Atlanta, which is crazy.
Mind-blowing. Yeah. Like you picture Portland.
They call it Hotlanta, you know? And like, yeah. Not Portland.
We don't call it Hotlanta.
No, but some people do. Yeah, not us. And to make things worse, Matt, so many people who live in the Pacific Northwest don't have air conditioning units in their homes. So yeah, that obviously makes it more difficult to handle those hot temperatures. But yeah, how does that apply to your personal finances, right? Well, it turns out that 13% of your utility bills come from cooling your home. When temperatures are that hot, a much higher percentage of your electricity bill will come from cooling your home. But yeah, Consumer Reports had an article about how to lower your utility bills. And we've talked about some of these things before, but it's worth mentioning again, like turning your thermostat up is kind of a no-duh suggestion, right? Like just keeping it generally warmer in the house. But don't forget to do that, right? Don't forget to actually change the temperature and bump it up. And it might make sense to install a smarter thermostat that will automatically raise the temperature when you aren't there.
Like a Nest thermostat.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of those. Love those things.
Well, and the cool thing too, Matt, is that a lot of utility companies will subsidize the cost of that Nest thermostat. So like I know, for instance, Georgia Power, they'll give you one for $50. So it's just way cheaper than what you're going to pay at, you know, Amazon or Target or something like that. So yeah, we'll include a link to where you can check out the Nest thermostat, but make sure to check out your local power company and to see if they're giving it to you. Some will give it to you for free because, yeah, you're going to be using less electricity then, which is helping the grid out overall.
That's right. And don't forget to use ceiling fans as well. This is kind of another no-brainer, but they can make it feel a whole lot cooler than it actually is, as much as 4 degrees cooler. In fact, I mean, we've got a thermometer set up in Westy's room just to, you know, make sure you don't want it to get to an unsafe temperature, especially here in the summer. But anytime we have the fan on, like in my mind, I calculate 5 degrees cooler. I'm like, okay, it says it's 74, you know, in his room, but in reality with the fan on, I know that means it's actually 69.
Yeah.
And also, according to the Department of Energy, with the clever use of blinds, curtains, and awnings, you could actually reduce the solar heat gain from windows by up to 77%. We'll link to that, but you know, definitely check that out so you can stay cool this summer without those massive electric bills. We actually have a neighbor, and they've got one of these shades on the outside of their house. It's on their porch, and so it's easily accessible. But what it does, it keeps that afternoon sun from blasting through their front windows, heating up the inside of the house. That sun hits that shade on the outside. It circulates around their house. That heat never even enters their home. I love that.
And I think a lot of people are like, I just need some new windows that are like triple paned or quintuple paned, which
with
I don't think exists.
But argon gas in it or something. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, like some special gas that keeps it better. People don't know, but yeah, they're just like, oh, gases. Yeah, that's what it needs in there.
Well, and you know, it's nice windows.
I'm sure it helps a little bit.
It helps some, and they often are more functional than some of the older windows, but they're really expensive to put in, and there are a lot of more cheaper solutions that you could employ. Yeah, like blackout curtains, like a ceiling fan. That's way cheaper than like replacing your windows, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah, you don't necessarily need to go DEFCON 5 when it comes to you know, cutting down on those energy costs.
Wait, isn't it DEFCON 1? Like, you start at 5 and then you work your way down.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I think so.
Okay, all right.
It's been a while since we've had a Cold War.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's interesting too, Matt, because it's important to, you know, make those decisions and to take action to lower your personal utility bills. But what about letting someone else make that thermostat decision for you, right? And I'm not just talking about like your significant other or like
one thermostat of the battle.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, which happens in most households. But utility companies are actually adjusting thermostats automatically in certain locations, right? Specifically in order to keep the power grid from completely buckling in times of high demand. So yeah, some consumers can opt into the program, and then you get entered into a sweepstakes where your power bill is like paid for the year.
Yeah, but so there's like this extra incentive. It's not that like the power company just wants control over your thermostat. I mean, they do, but
and it's in very rare circumstances, right?
Yeah.
But they can
in Texas. I think maybe twice a year does the utility company, you know, crank your thermostat up maybe like 5 degrees.
Yeah, but that is going to be probably the hottest days of the year when they do that. So it's going to be the days that you want air conditioning the most, and you're going to have to kind of suffer through that. So yeah, what's your take? Is it frugal or cheap to try to like save maybe potentially a little money?
Totally frugal.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, okay, at least with the program that they were talking about in Texas, and we'll link to the article, but you can change it back. It's just a matter of being opted into the program, right?
But then, yeah, you lose out on your potential to win the sweepstakes, right?
Yeah. And so for folks who are home, you know, why not sign up? You can make the adjustment if you can't handle the heat. But if you happen to, maybe you're not even home while that's happening, well, that's a perfect opportunity for you to take advantage of some savings, not only in your utilities, but also, too, with this program, to be entered into having your power paid for an entire year. Yeah. I would totally do it.
That'd be pretty sweet. I also am willing to endure the pain. I think if there was like a firm payback as opposed to a potential payback,
I'd
be into it even more.
Again, kind of going back to like the Bobby Bedia story or whatever. Like if you can crunch the numbers and know that, like, okay, can I handle that? Yes or no. Make that decision and kind of go from there. But
it's like if you enter into it and the next five Julys you get a zeroed out power bill, I'd be like, sure, I'm in.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's keep going, Matt. Let's talk about inflation for a second, because that's still top of mind right now for a lot of folks. And I guess, I'm kind of asking the question right now, have we reached peak inflation? It's obviously a hard thing to call in the moment, right? Well, we'll know 3 years from now, what ended up happening?
In hindsight.
Or even 6 months, a year from now. But yeah, car prices, gas prices, they're still high. Bacon, apparently, too, costs a lot more right now. But at least it's good to see that the law of supply and demand really is still working, right? Lumber costs are one of the things that we can point to as evidence that we might be getting through some of the worst pain points when it comes to rising prices. They have fallen precipitously by over 50% from their high. That's also because their high was outrageous, really.
That is true.
Yeah. Wood was starting to cost a whole lot. But yeah, it's a good sign that as prices rose, suppliers kicked into overdrive to take advantage of increased profits that they were seeing. Some companies were adding more shifts, and some companies even brought defunct sawmills back to life. They put like millions of dollars worth of investments into some of these mills to bring them back. Wood started flowing freely again in the economy. And that's led to what we're seeing now with a strong price correction. I think, as some of these supply chain issues dry up, I think some people have talked about long-term inflation and they've been worried about that. In our inflation episode, we were like, it remains to be seen. But I don't know, seeing like what's happening with wood right now, as some of these, chip factories come back online and begin to produce, I do think it's going to be a semi-transitory event. I don't know, but that, like we said, We'll see.
Yeah, time will tell. But yeah, seeing specifically the lumber industry respond like that, I mean, that's a sign of a healthy market, right?
Yeah.
The ability for them to make changes like that and to meet that demand. I love seeing that. And we are still seeing the effects on the car market, right? A substantial rise in used car prices has led to almost one third of the inflation that we've been seeing lately.
Wow.
And so since those all important chips, like you mentioned, Joel, are still in low supply, it turns out that your car might actually be worth more than when you bought it. According to Black Book, used cars right now are worth 30% more than they were 1 year ago. Normally, you lose an insane amount of money just by driving your new car off the dealership lot, but kind of a strange twist of fate, dozens of gently used models are now selling for more than their original sticker price, which is totally insane.
Should I start investing in used cars? Is that what you're saying?
I think you might be investing at the peak. So that's the problem with timing the market.
Right.
And so here's a random takeaway. If you're in a lease, it's almost a 100% lock that you should buy the car at the price that you've agreed to in your contract, even if you don't want to keep it, because then you could turn back around and sell it. Obviously, do your homework first. You need to know what that car is likely to sell for. But a listener actually emailed us, listener Becky, saying that she did this very thing, and she actually made about $5,000 on the spread.
Yeah, she basically said, free your lease payments right there by just buying it and then selling it right after she was done with it.
Absolutely. And that's not something you can count on, because typically, we have never seen used cars ever be worth more than they were in the past.
This is a highly abnormal cycle.
Yes, but if that's the situation that you're in, realize that this is an instance where you can take some lemons and make some lemonade out
of it. That's true. Matt, we talk about inflation overall, but inflation is also highly personal. It kind of depends on where you're spending your money,
right?
Because if you're buying a car right now, inflation is awful for you. If you're buying a house right now, inflation is awful for you. If you're renovating or stuff like that, like inflation has not been kind to you.
But you're feeling it.
Exactly. Yeah, you're feeling it viscerally because those prices have gone up more than others. So if you're curious, not just about the overall rate of inflation, but you want to know maybe your own personal rate of inflation, Well, it turns out there's a calculator for that, and CNN actually created this tool to help you determine your own personal rate of inflation based on your specific spending patterns. It's kind of interesting because you might find that rising prices have either a higher or a lower impact on you in particular based on how you spend. So it's kind of, yeah, fun little exercise to be like, I spend this much at the grocery store, I spend this blah, 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 here and there, and then, yeah, let it spit out what your actual, you know, inflation number is.
Yeah, nice little calculator for all the nerds out there. Most people are yeah. probably like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But Joel, one thing that isn't rising are the rates that are being paid on the money that you're saving.
It certainly feels like saving money sucks right now.
Yeah, yeah. One-year CD rates are at record lows, averaging at 0.17%.
Ouch.
Yeah, even our favorite online banks are paying right around 0.5% to lock your money up in a CD for a year. Yeah, it is not a good time to be a saver, but cash, we want to mention this because cash still holds an important place in your life. Even if you're seeing those cash reserves grow at a snail's pace, even if you're actually in reality losing money because it's not keeping up with inflation, even still, it's important to have your emergency fund accessible and liquid. And so, yeah, fingers crossed that in the coming years, saving money won't feel like such a crushing blow. Hopefully in the future, it won't feel like you're on this raft that's slowly leaking air and you're just like sinking down into the pool. Because that's basically what's happening right now yeah. with the banks paying such a piddly amount on those savings accounts and CDs.
Yeah, man, I think that's why we've had so many questions where listeners are like, can I please invest my money instead of keeping it locked in a savings account that's not really doing much for me at all right now? But yeah, like you said, the thing is, you have to have some liquid cash available because you can't predict the future and
right.
you can't lock it away even if you're hoping for higher returns. It's always important to have that emergency cash on hand in case you need it. But Matt, let's get to some more stories, including anybody who's taking out student loans. They're going to pay higher interest rates next year. We'll get to that and more right after this.
All right, we're back. And Joel, it is now time to get to our ludicrous headline of the week.
Oh, okay. I like it.
You like my... Okay, so I did that because we've been reading Harry Potter. You have been reading it to your girls as well, and we are also reading Harry Potter, and we both do the voices.
Was that your Snape?
That was my Harry Potter voice.
Oh, sorry, dude. We got to work on that.
I feel like it's pretty good. Maybe folks will disagree. But okay, our ludicrous headline this week is Peloton disabled a free running feature on its treadmills, forcing owners to pay up. Dude, this one comes from CNBC, and basically, if you own one of these super fancy and incredibly expensive treadmills, you know, there might be some folks out there who have a Peloton, you were able to hop on and just go for a run without having to take a Peloton class in order to get an indoor run, right? Which is a perfectly reasonable thing to be able to want to do on your treadmill. But that's no longer the case. Now your $3,000 treadmill is a giant expensive brick until you fork over the $40 a month membership that they charge.
It's highway robbery, Matt.
Seriously. And, you know, this has been the case with a lot of other products, too, before Peloton, including smartphones, right? So the reason we're mentioning this story is we want for you to be careful with what products you buy. If the hardware that you're purchasing needs software and regular updates to work, you're at the mercy of the company that sells the product. And in this case, too, man, I think one of the most ludicrous aspects of the story is that Peloton said that the reason this happened was because of a software safety update.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Peloton. Yeah. The only free feature available on the Peloton got rolled back somehow with the safety update. You know that they were just basically seeing how folks were going to respond, seeing if they could get away with, because if folks were going to be quiet about it and it wasn't a big deal, it's like, oh, this is a way that we can increase our revenues. But with the backlash, they're totally walking it back and they're saying, oh, we're going to get right, you know, we're getting to work on this. The next software update will enable the free run feature. It's just, yeah, that to me, that's the part where I'm just like, come on, guys, seriously.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of ethically opposed to paying $3,000 for a treadmill anyway, whether hey. It comes with a $40 a month classes or not.
If it's your craft beer equivalent, you do what you want.
You can still get a great treadmill for a whole lot less than that.
No, don't listen to Joel.
Or you can run outside.
You be you.
All right. Well, yeah. Speaking of free stuff that now costs money, Matt, Venmo has announced that they're going to start to charge for certain types of payments soon. They've always charged transactions for business accounts. But for those who use their personal account for their business but have never gotten around to setting up a separate business account, that's going to change on July 20th. They're going to start cracking down, right? So Venmo is saying they're making it easier for small business owners to be compliant because customers will be able to select whether the money they're sending is for a good or service. And then a fee is going to be deducted from the amount that's sent. So yeah, Venmo is trying to, now that they've gotten just a massive user base, they're trying to make a profit on that user base. The upside for customers is that those transactions are eligible for Venmo's purchase protection plan, but the bad news is that you might start to see prices go up, and companies are going to have to start, adding that fee into what they charge you for that good or service. And also, Matt, Venmo is also upping its cost for instant transfer of funds. So if your friend pays you money and you transfer it to your bank account, they used to charge a 1% fee, and now it's going to be a 1.5% fee. Basically, wait those 3 or 4 days. Don't ever pay a fee to move money from Venmo into your bank account. That's an easy fee to dodge.
Absolutely. Let's talk about scams. More millennials and Gen Zers are actually losing money to scams these days. Scammers and the different cons they pull are getting more sophisticated, and they are targeting a younger, more tech-savvy audience. Our friend Ron Lieber, he wrote an excellent article about this in the New York Times this week after the FTC released numbers about which age cohorts are the most susceptible to scams these days. Dude, it wasn't even close. 44% of people ages 20 to 29 have lost money to fraud, whereas only 20% of adults from 70 to 79 have lost money to a scammer. Obviously, that cohort is likely to be online more, and more of these scams are moving online.
Yeah.
But it's just something to be aware of, right? If you think that you're impervious to scams, think again. It's important to keep your guard up and to be wary before you enter your credit card information anywhere online. Make sure that you're not entering your social security anywhere. Like one of the scams he mentioned were these employment scams, where it's like, all right, we got to run the background check and run all these things on you, and they want you to put in your birth date, your social security, and it turns out someone's about to steal your identity.
Yeah, and one other thing, Matt, people really need to do to protect themselves is to freeze their credit. I wrote an article on howtomoney.com about how people can do that. It's super chill. It's not going to take you long at all. And especially right now, let's say you did accidentally give away some of your personal information. Freezing your credit is going to ensure that you're less susceptible to a lot of the collateral damage that would otherwise take place.
That's right. And not only is it easy and quick to freeze your credit, it's also crazy fast to unfreeze your credit as well. So for instance, if you want to apply for a new card, maybe you're applying for a mortgage, something like that. Literally, I've timed myself before and it takes me like 1 minute per bureau.
And speaking of scams, Matt, the Texas Observer, they had an excellent article this week that basically called title insurance a scam.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is a big cost center when you're applying for a mortgage, when you're buying a home.
It's one of those line items that you see and you're like,
why does it cost that much? What's it for?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I need it, though.
Yeah. And not only are you supposed to purchase an owner's title policy when you're buying a home to protect yourself against, legal defects or incorrect surveys or potentially forged deeds, which are all things that don't happen very frequently, but you also have to pay for one on behalf of the mortgage company, protecting their stake in the house. So yeah, how much a title insurance policy costs, it depends on where you live. And no wonder this article showed up in the Texas Observer, Matt, because title insurance in the state of Texas is sky high, in the range of $2,000 for a basic house. So you're buying a home, that's $2,000 added on to the price of that home, and there's not much you can do about it, right? Where other people live, well, it might cost more like $1,000 or maybe even as low as $500. And actually in Iowa, that state provides this insurance for $110. So yeah, big thumbs up to Iowa
for everyone buying homes there.
Yeah, it makes it reasonable because some of those prices are just exorbitant. And in Texas specifically, it's one of these insurance products that it's not a scam, but it feels like a scam.
Yeah.
And in particular, because I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody actually having to use that title insurance. It's one of those rarely, rarely used insurance products, but also too, the stakes are high.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that technology should be able to fix in the future. Blockchain technology specifically could make title insurance a relic of the past, as these transfers of properties are digitally stored. There's no fraud that can take place on the, on the public blockchain. We'll see if that tech actually works its way into the housing industry. But for right now, it's one of those insurance products that people still need to purchase, at least for the time being. Even though it basically does feel like a ripoff, and your likelihood of having to file a title claim are pretty close to zero, not having the insurance is just too big of a risk for you. So make sure that you, purchase that owner's title policy as well. And just, and we're pointing out here too that, yeah, you have to purchase one of those plans for your lender. Otherwise, they're not going to be willing to give you that loan.
Yeah. In some states, you can shop for your own owner's title policy. You don't have to go with the one that the lender recommends. And so in those states where you can shop, shop around and see if you can find a better deal. Again, because it is hopefully, you know, a type of insurance that you're never going to use. Matt, let's talk about another form of insurance that is feels like a total waste of money. And this one is actually one that you should be avoiding. That's extended car warranties.
Yeah.
We've mentioned how much we dislike these before because the cost just massively outweigh the benefits. They're a bad buy for pretty much everybody. And there's just so many pitfalls when you're looking to purchase an extended warranty that it makes this space just fraught with a lot of downside for people. And one of the biggest potential pitfalls is that a lot of folks end up buying a warranty from a third-party company instead of buying one from the company that actually manufactured the vehicle. And that third-party warranty is worth little to nothing because who knows how long that company's been around. Many of the companies that sell extended warranties for vehicles are more of the fly-by-night variety. And so, yeah, does that warranty even cover what's likely to go wrong with the vehicle? Maybe there's some language in there that prevents you from actually being able to use it when something does go wrong. And so, yeah, there's just way too many loopholes to make car warranties a smart buy. It's almost always better to keep that money on hand and self-insure instead of forking over the money for one of these warranties that might or might not in all likelihood pay off. It's usually, what, like $2,000, $2,500 to get one of these extended warranties. Keep that money in your savings account instead and be ready to pay for the things that happen to your vehicle out of money that you have on hand, not trying to rely on one of these warranties that probably isn't going to work out anyway.
That's right. Even though you aren't going to be earning much money on that money that's sitting there in that savings account.
Yeah.
Student loans, man, let's talk about those.
At least it won't be thrown away.
Yeah, that is true. As of yesterday, interest rates on student loans are higher. That's a little surprising given the low interest rates that we've been seeing across the board. But undergraduate students will now be taking out loans from the federal government just shy of 4%. That's a 1% increase over last year's rate. Graduate student loans will be at 5.28%. And we're not even going to mention the Parent PLUS loans because those are even higher and they're just not worth considering.
The worst.
They're the worst student loan products out there. And so it's important for all students to be careful with how much they choose to borrow. We're not against folks taking on debt to fund their education. We feel that can be a really good investment in your personal ability to earn more money down the road, right? But it's crucial to do it wisely and to find ways to lower your borrowing needs. We don't want you to hamstring your future by overloading yourself with tons of debt now. Again, even for something as wonderful as an education, fill out that FAFSA, look for merit scholarships, look at all the countless other ways that you can find money that is out there to fund your education before you start looking to products like student loans where you're paying debt in order to fund your education.
A cheaper school. That's another thing you can consider too, right? Just going to a cheaper school.
That's right, man.
All right. Well, Matt, last week on the show, we said we were going to give away some books.
It was the Radar Bookshelf giveaway.
Yeah, it's so fun. Like so many listeners were kind enough to submit a nice review for the show and they emailed us. And we have the results of that book giveaway, those winners. The screen names for those reviews were B. Sekan, Megul 22, and Evil 3.
I think it's Evely.
Oh, let me
But Evil 3 sounds pretty funny.
It does
too.
Sound funny. All right, Evely, good job. So, yeah, we'll get those books sent out. this
I guess
week.
Like Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
Right? What, I don't know.
That's what I was thinking, I guess.
Maybe that's how he spelled it. No. thanks to everybody who submitted a review. And just a reminder, if you didn't win, that review can still count towards future Raid Our Bookshelf giveaways. And so just a little encouragement for all those folks who didn't win this time.
Yeah, you know, another one's coming soon.
That's right. Yeah. And also, too, happy 4th of July to everybody. Joel, you and I were planning to take Monday off. I think we're going to take a How to Money Family Beach Lake trip, but we will still have a great episode on Monday waiting for you. We're actually going to have a guest on, and we're going to talk all about passive income, financial freedom, the 4th of July. You kind of see the overlap there?
It's financial independence next week.
That's
on
right,
How to Money.
Man.
So, yeah, we're going to be covering that topic a whole lot. And our guest on Monday, Rachel Richards, has already achieved that, and she achieved it at a really young age. So I'm really looking forward to, yeah, putting that out into your earbuds on Monday. But until then, have a great weekend celebrating America's independence. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.